Something weird was happening. We were gaining on the boat in front. As a sailfish owner, that's not something I'm used to, especially when sailing with other sailfishes. You see, for some reason, my sailfish is slower than every other sailfish in the world, all 850 of them, and nobody knows why. It's a matter that has exercised some of the very finest technical brains in the sailfish community, and that really is saying something, and not one of them has come up with an explanation I give any credence to. One even suggested, it's not the boat. How very dare he? A crackpot theory if ever I heard one. In this case, though, it certainly wasn't the boat. That's because we weren't on a sailfish, but on a Dufour 325 on a Greek island holiday flotilla. And we were definitely gaining on the boat in front. Absolutely no doubt about it. What's more, the boat in front wasn't even anchored or aground. In fact, it was exactly the same as ours, and it even had its sails up, and we were definitely gaining on it. Now, I haven't got a competitive racing fibre in my body, mainly because I'd never gained on anything before, but when I noticed the boat in front was John and Di's, the latent racer in me came out, and it was quite ugly. Until then, John and Di, our flotilla buddies from Malden, had spent most of the week sailing in the opposite direction from us, but now we had them in our sights. Jules helmed while I concentrated on all the important stuff: racecraft, tactics, reading wave patterns, anticipating wind shifts, squinting at the sails, tapping the instruments, worrying ropes, shouting starboard, raising protest flags, instructing lawyers, and keeping my sunblock topped up. When I look back, I wonder how I managed to do so much all at once while still barking endless commands at Jules. But there was more. I've seen how skippers do it in the Solent. So I turned up my collar and started minutely criticising Jules with utmost sarcasm, watching every move she made and telling her to do it slightly differently, just like you're supposed to do. And still, we were gaining on John and Di. In fact, we were overtaking them. Di waved at us cheerily, which I thought was a rather sneaky and underhand tactic, because it made Jules wave back, which I then had to criticise at length. There was so much wrong with her wave, I don't know where to begin. But I had even more pressing matters on my mind. I looked across and saw John raise his shirt collar in the traditional jousting challenge of the Solent Warrior. This meant war. He'd thrown down the gauntlet. I just prayed he didn't reach for the feared red trousers, the traditional battle dress of the even more feared Hamble heathen. If he did, I had nothing to match them with. In fact, no one's ever seen anything to match them. But I had no need of red trousers, for as we rounded a headland, I pulled off the latest in a long string of tactically quite brilliant masterstrokes, barking an endless stream of contradictory commands at Jules. I could try and explain it, but you wouldn't understand. It's basically to do with wind and stuff. But now, we were no longer overtaking John and Di, we were in front. I punched the air and shouted, "Die, John, die! John and Di, die!" A little over the top, perhaps, but authentically Solent, I thought. Tack for tack, we pulled away as I pulled off yet even more brilliantly tactical masterstrokes. Modesty prevents me from recounting further details of the most crushing victory in the history of yachting, but let's just say that by the time John and Di arrived in the bay where we anchored for the afternoon, I was just polishing off my 27th cup of tea and final slice of lemon drizzle cake, indeed the cake of champions, which Jules had baked after rowing ashore to pick lemons from a grove 2,000 feet up a near vertical mountain track. Then another weird thing happened. John started swimming round his boat and feeling the underwater sections with his palm. Next he swam over to us and started feeling our undersides. Once back on board he looked perplexed and said to Di, "I don't get it. Their boat's exactly the same as ours." I overheard this and replied with a riposte I'd picked up in a Lymington yacht club, saying, "John, they're not the same. Our boat's slower. We just sailed it better." Then I snorted and grunted and jiggled my shoulders like they do in clubs where they wear blazers. Wah, 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 wah. Now, despite the overwhelming body of evidence, John seemed reluctant to accept my explanation. As a retired science teacher, he wanted further proof, and that came later in the evening, when he asked Rich, our flotilla leader, whether there was any difference between our two boats. And Rich replied, "Yes, John, Dave and Jules' boat is older, but yours has got brand new sails." I could have kissed the man, which I believe is something they do in the Solent when they've had too much Pimm's, or perhaps not enough. I tossed an olive into my mouth, took a slug of ouzo and simpered, "John, why can't you accept that we're just better sailors than you?" "That's 'cause I know you, Dave," John replied, a little testily, but a fair point. It was then that Jules said, "Just ignore him, John, that's what I do." "Ah," John said, "I get it, that's why you beat us." "You got it, John," said Jules. I didn't take a blind bit of notice of him and all that nonsense he was saying. Come to think of it, that does explain it.